This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle is producing. Your number is 877-217-5757. We're joined now by Roger Villery, the longest-serving chair of the Republican Party in Louisiana history. He recently relinquished his post last year to Louis Gervich, but Roger Villery, when he left, was the longest-serving chair of any party in the United States at this time, and he is right now surveying the landscape that we know, and we will talk with him about things that are happening. But it was a huge weekend in New Orleans. The Republicans gathered there, and it was a leadership conference. And Roger, how did it go?
Oh, thank you for having me on this morning. It went tremendous. We had a great crowd. We had a really wonderful speakers from all over the country. And we had a couple of very interesting panels, two of which were really tremendous hits and success. One with women leadership in the Republican Party. We had a panel of all elected women. And then we had one on health care. And, of course, the health care is a big issue worldwide, but in particular in the United States and with our Congress and all. And so that was two excellent panels that we had. And, we had a number of other ones, future leader panel with the head of the national chairman of the Young Republicans and the national chairman of the College Republicans.
And in a few moments, we're also going to be joined by Quinn Hillier, who's a conservative commentator, a fellow who has operated in the same circles as Roger Villery, a New Orleanian who now lives in Mobile, and has some thoughts that are probably in variance with Roger and some that are in agreement, and that's what it's all about. We invite all viewpoints, and we invite your participation at 877-217-5757. This is day 31 of the partial federal government shutdown, and John Kennedy, our junior U.S. senator, who has become the darling of the national media, was making the rounds yesterday, including an appearance on Face the Nation. Here's Senator Kennedy talking about the proposal that President Trump has floated in an effort to get people back to work. Here's John Kennedy.
And I think that hurts the First Amendment.
Will you vote for the proposal put forward by the president to end the shutdown?
Yep. It represents progress. Not perfection, but progress. Ms. Pelosi's response was predictable, but I can promise you that the more censorious Democrats right now are glad the president put something on the table. Third point I'll make is I talked to the president about this issue for about an hour last week. Mm-hmm. And if you bring a plan to him that doesn't include a wall, it's dead as 4 o'clock.
All right, that's John Neely Kennedy saying that the president has to have his wall or any agreement as dead as 4 o'clock. Roger Villery, your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are I agree with Senator Kennedy in his analysis of what's going on. You know, the Democrats, their answer to everything is no. And so I think we have to find solutions. But obviously, the president's willing to compromise, but it has to be a reasonable compromise. And I think that's what we're looking for, elected officials that are willing to make reasonable compromises. Nancy Pelosi is not.
Quinn Hillier, how do you see it at this point? Quinn, are you there?
Oh, yes. I just got here.
How do you see the dispute that's ongoing between the president and Congress right now regarding the wall?
Well, look, both sides have behaved ridiculously, but the president over the weekend, and you know I'm not a big fan of the president, but the president made a very good faith compromise offer from what was already a compromise. Remember, the $5.7 billion he was asking for is already a major compromise to the Democrats, and now he has offered another compromise. If the Democrats think that it's so important to get these 800,000 federal workers back to work, then they should take the compromise and do it for the American public and then go on from here, because they now control the House, and so they'll have 2 years to have their way. They should take this compromise and move on.
Who is winning the political battle here?
Democrats have been winning the political battle, but we'll see what happens when the public realizes what a reasonable compromise offer the president made, and the pendulum might start to swing back.
Now, Doug Jones, who's a senator in the state where you now live, is the only Democratic senator among the 11 SEC states, 20 to 21 Republicans, one Democrat. He is digging in, saying no wall. Well, and he's up for re-election next year. Will this perhaps imperil his ability to be re-elected in Alabama?
Doug Jones has no ability to be re-elected in Alabama whatsoever unless Alabama Republicans somehow nominate Roy Moore again or somebody, you know, with some major baggage. Other than that, Doug Jones is toast. He knows he's toast, and what he's doing is playing for a national Democratic audience so he can, you know, get some kind of goodie after he loses.
All right, 877-217-5757 for Quinn Hillier and Roger Villery. Roger, who do you think is winning the political battle here?
Well, it's not about winning a political battle. We need to do what's right for the country. We have a serious crisis. It is getting worse by the day. We need to protect our sovereignty. We need to protect our borders. And I agree 100% with Quinn. I think both sides have not done is all they could do. But I believe now the president has put forth a proposal that I think is very, very doable. And I think that they need to come to the table. He is willing to come to the table. But we need to have a wall. I think it's extremely important that we protect our country.
Will you be supporting the president for re-election, Roger?
I won't be supporting our president. And, you know, if these...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Parties don't want walls, want everybody to come in. Well, take the doors off their house. See how they like that if they have people walk in off the street and move in. That's what they did to our country. They took the doors off our country, and they're letting everybody come in.
Quinn, will you be supporting the President of the United States in his quest for a second term?
I missed a little bit there.
Will you be supporting the president in his quest for a second term?
No, I will not.
Q on airline. Q, good morning. You're on with Quinn and Roger. Hi, Q.
Hi. I just wanted to remind your guest this morning that Donald Trump did say that he was going to be proud to shut down the government for border security, which is really baffling because border security is not synonymous with a border wall. Border walls do not work. They are expensive, and they don't work. Most people who come to America illegally are those who overstay visas, not who cross the border. Also, the proposals that he had given to the Democrats of the House were proposals that he had originally already given. So they had said no to something that they previously said no to. So he's not changing his proposals. We need to be truthful of what he is proposing to us and what the facts show on border security.
Thank you, Q. And before we go back to Quinn and Roger, let's hear from Ray in Prairieville. Ray, good morning.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for taking my call, as usual. I'd just like to ask your guest a comment. The president made a reasonable proposal. I have a hard time with $5.7 billion being called a reasonable proposal.
All right. Can we afford $5.7 billion, Quinn Hillier?
We certainly could afford it by taking $5.7 billion away from the astronomical amounts we're already spending. But in terms of border security, $5.7 billion will cover only about one-fifth of the entire border, which is about, by the way, the amount of the border that the Democrats in the past, many, many of the Democrats in the past, have said is reasonable for a wall. The president has come down from saying wall off the whole border to saying he wants $5.7 billion. That's a perfectly reasonable number.
877-217-5757. We'll return to the phone lines with Roger Villery. longest-serving chair of the Republican Party in Louisiana history, and Quinn Hillier, the veteran columnist, commentator, and pundit. We're back after this pause for the news on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for spending your holiday with us. And Matt Doyle is producing. 877-217-5757 is your number for Roger Villery and Quinn Hillier, two seasoned Republicans. Roger believes the president deserves another term. Quinn does not. But on the wall, they are largely in accord, and that is the issue. We're now in day 31 of the federal government shutdown. Trish on in Lafayette. Trish, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. Good morning. This may be a dumb question, but I'm wondering why nobody is worried about the border with Canada.
All right. Roger Villery, why are we not discussing a border wall involving Canada, only Mexico? Is there any reason why we would not do that? Okay, I think, do we have you, Roger, now?
By the tens of thousands every day from Canada, they're coming over on the side from Mexico. So, you know, you do have a few people in Canada, but you have tens of thousands coming from Mexico. So it makes no sense to spend money in Canada.
Tim on airline. Tim, good morning. You're on with Quinn and Roger. Hi, Tim.
Hey, good morning. I just wanted to make a comment on one of your callers' comments a few callers back. I think her name was Q, and she said, walls don't work. And my question to her would be, is that just a Democratic talking point, or does she have factual basis to say that walls don't work? Because in my understanding, walls have been very effective.
All right. Thank you, Tim. Quinn, do you believe walls do work?
Walls definitely work in certain places. They absolutely work. For instance, in California near San Diego, Dianne Feinstein, the senator from California, has said that again and again and again. Many Democrats, including many still in Congress and including Barack Obama, have said that there are places where walls work very well, and they have wholeheartedly supported them. As a matter of fact, they have said that their main problem with the wall is not that it doesn't work, but that in some places it doesn't make sense geographically or environmentally or topographically. But that doesn't mean that they have said, up until a year ago, everybody said walls work in some places. And so what Donald Trump is suggesting is putting up a wall in the places where everybody has agreed before that they would work.
Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Hi, Phil. You're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning to you.
Good morning, gentlemen. You know, and my heart is broken from the Saints game. But anyway, going forward. Yeah, the Democrats have supported walls. They've also voted to fund them. The budget for border security is pretty high, and Democrats have been on board for supporting them and voting to fund them. Mitch McConnell could end this right now, and the longer this goes on, our security is at risk because of TSA. I mean, who's coming into the country right now because of getting past airport security?
Why do you think Mitch McConnell could resolve this? Phil? Okay. He could have resolved it. Quinn, why didn't he let the Senate vote? He certainly has had votes on U.S. Supreme Court justices without getting 60 votes in accord to move forward. Why did he require 60 this time? Quinn Hillier?
Why did he require 60 for what?
For the vote on the funding for the wall.
Because that's what it takes. It takes 60 votes to pass an appropriations bill if anybody filibusters it. And you've easily got at least 40 Republicans who are going to filibuster an appropriations bill that doesn't have the wall. So it's not up to Mitch McConnell.
Well, at one time, it took 60 votes in the Senate to get a vote on a Supreme Court justice, and he didn't have the 60, and yet he allowed votes on Gorsuch and Kavanaugh.
Completely different. That was That was for nominations. That was on an ambiguous rule on what it takes to confirm nominees following basically a precedent set by Harry Reid. Nobody has ever suggested that ordinary legislation by the current rules of the House, I mean of the Senate, should be passable with only 50 votes.
Roger Villery, oops, tell you what, let's see if we can get Roger back. I think we've lost him for a moment. But while we have Quinn Hillier, and we will for a few more moments, and you can call again if you so choose, not again, but if you have not called, 877-217-5757 is your number, and this story about the Russia investigation is gaining momentum but has been overshadowed by the wall and the government shutdown, and President Trump was involved, the New York Times reports in today's edition, in discussions to build a skyscraper in Moscow throughout the entire 2016 presidential campaign. This came from Rudy Giuliani on some of the comments he made yesterday, that Mr. Trump's efforts to complete a business deal in Russia waned after Americans cast ballots in the presidential election, but the new timetable means that the president was seeking a deal at the time he was calling for an end to economic sanctions against Russia imposed by the Obama administration, and seeking a deal when he gave interviews questioning the legitimacy of NATO, a favorite talking point of Vladimir Putin. Is this news, or is this just more of the same, Quinn Hillier?
This is not more of the same. This, unless by the same you mean the same old business where Donald Trump keeps having to change his story. This is important. If it is true, it definitely casts an even worse light on President Trump and the way that he sucked up to Vladimir Putin for so many months. And it does help explain why Russia might have been, well, not might have been, absolutely was trying to help Donald Trump win the election. This is very serious stuff. Whether it's impeachable or not, I don't know, but it makes Donald Trump look even worse, and people should pay attention to it.
Roger Villery, do you think the Russia investigation is a hoax, as the president has termed it?
I couldn't hear what you said.
Is the Russia investigation a hoax, as the president has termed it?
Well, it's a hoax, but it sure has gotten to be a witch hunt. I think that they've been investigating and spending millions and millions of dollars. I think it needs to end. I think it's time to spend the time and money to help our country out, not on a witch hunt.
And you think the president is doing a good job. Why do you think that the president is deserving of a second term in office?
Well, first of all, on that last call, I'd like to agree with him that I think that the Saints got robbed, and I will not be watching the Super Bowl. I have nothing against the two teams, but I think the NFL was terrible. On with the president doing a good job, I think a president is doing the best job he can with the obstruction that is going on from the Democrats in Washington. It's outrageous that all they can say is no. They can't do anything. And look, their job is to get the best deal they can for their constituents and that they feel is good for America. But they don't care about that. They just worry about what beach am I going to go to visit today? If it's going to be in Mexico, is it going to be in Central America, is it going to be on some beach in Europe? And they're not worried about our country. They've become elites.
Who's not worried about our country?
The Democrats. The Democrats are worried about being elites. They're not taking care of the people of the United States.
All right. Well, the president is the one who spent most of his time at country clubs when he could have been in
Washington. I don't agree with that, Jim. The president works 24/7. So I know how much time it takes to run the country. He's not laying out on the beach doing nothing. He's meeting with world leaders everywhere he goes.
Lewis on Goodwood. Lewis, good morning. You're on with Roger Villery and Quinn Hillier.
Oh, good morning. I'm just calling in reference to the question about the security along the Canadian border. Canada actually cooperates with the United States, and the two countries have an electronically surveilled border, the entire length of the border, with very carefully controlled border crossings.
All right. Thank you, Louis. Charlotte in Iberia. Charlotte, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. I have a question for your guest, whether they have compared the length of time the investigation into Benghazi took place and its cost and the number of people who were convicted versus or charged and comparison to the investigation into the current president. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Quinn, is that an accurate comparison, Benghazi and its...
There are lots of accurate comparisons, including Whitewater. Investigations of this sort usually do, or often, do take well over 2 years. This investigation has been going less than 2 years, or at least less than 2 years since Mueller took it over. So the amount of time is not inordinate right now. It would be good if Mueller would start to wrap it up, but right now this has not gone on longer than is necessary.
All right. Daryl on Jefferson Highway. Daryl, you're on with Roger and Quinn.
The question that I have is, why is it if the Republicans care so much about Americans that they don't want to fund health care? And then the other thing is that this is about stemming the tide of the natural demographic shift of the United States from a less white country to a more black and brown country.
All right. Roger, would you respond to Daryl, who believes that this argument about immigration is politically motivated by who gets the votes if these people become citizens? And is that a relevant point of discussion?
I don't believe it's relevant. Legally, people coming into the United States, the majority of them are not white. They are black or brown. And it's true, illegal people coming in, it's a majority, but we have to protect our sovereignty.
877-217-5757. A few more minutes with Roger Villery and Quinn Hillier. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and we'll spend a few more minutes with Quinn Hillier and Roger Villery. If you'd like to get in under the wire, 877-217-5757. talk@talklouisiana.org is our email address. And Edwin writes, how do your guests square Ronald Reagan's tear down this wall to Donald Trump's build a wall? Is that analogous, Quinn Hillier?
No, it's not. The wall in Berlin was used to keep people in that wanted freedom. The wall that might be on parts of the Mexican border is to keep people out until they come in a legal process where they are welcome. Two completely different things. Before we go, by the way, I did want to say hello to Roger, who is an old friend of mine, and I'm delighted to be on the air with him. So let me just get that in.
All right. Roger, do you believe the president will serve his complete term? Do you think that's a given?
Well, he would serve his complete term. I think he will, yes. I do, and I would like to say that I served with Quinn's father, Haywood Hillier, and was proud to serve with him on the Republican State Central Committee for many years, and Quinn's been a friend for a long time. So thanks for having us on. It's a great way to visit with an old friend.
Well, thank you, sir. Quinn, is the president going to serve out his first term, or is there a possibility he could be forced from office or resign?
There's a possibility. I don't think the likelihood is high, just because it takes two-thirds vote in the Senate to remove him, and that's an awfully high burden. I have said in the past that I think he should resign for various reasons, but I don't think he's going to. I do think he's going to serve his term out, and even though I think that he's done a lot of bad things that hurt the country and the conservative cause, I also do understand why a lot of Republicans support him, because some of the policies that have come out of this White House have been things conservatives have fought for a long time. But that's also a reason why it's going to be tough to get Republicans to vote to remove him, even if he's impeached.
Well, thank you, Quinn Hillier, and thank you, Roger Villery. It is always a pleasure to visit with both of you. Thank you. And as we round the final turn here, it would be inappropriate not to at least mention what happened yesterday in New Orleans as the Saints were apparently en route to their second Super Bowl appearance, and then the Los Angeles Rams and the officials got in the way of that. No doubt it was a terrible call at the end of regulation that enabled the Rams to get the ball back and tie the game and send it into overtime. The officials did not acquit themselves well. There were two infractions on the play in question, not only an interference call, but a helmet-to-helmet call that should have been made but were not, and no doubt that one play was a difference. But also on the series prior to that, Jared Goff, the Los Angeles Rams quarterback, had his face mask pulled at the two-yard line. That would have been first and goal from the one for the Rams and would have likely meant a touchdown for them. So in reality, the score should have been 27-27 going into overtime. There were blown calls on both sides, and the one that was not made against the Rams was the one that happened right before the end of the game. And if it had been made, the Saints would almost certainly be on their way to Atlanta to face the New England Patriots in a Super Bowl battle for the ages between Drew Brees and Tom Brady. But it did not happen. The Saints, as we know, have been a long-suffering franchise, despite the one title 9 years ago. New Orleans did not have a winning team until 1987 in their 21st season in the league. 20 seasons of non-winning competition for the New Orleans Saints. Tom Benson, in his third year as owner, directed the Saints to a winning season in 1987. And that was a year in which several games were played by replacement players who crossed picket lines to play while the NFL regulars were on strike. Bobby Hebert, the Saints quarterback at that time, called the replacement players scabs. And one of those scabs, by the way, was the Saints coach, Sean Payton. He crossed the picket line to play for the Chicago Bears. But Bobby Hebert, of course, does not call Sean Payton a scab since he has become one of the best coaches in the league and is the coach of the New Orleans Saints. But it was a tough, tough way for the Saints to end their season, and no doubt one that will have resonance for years to come. Drew Brees is now 40 years old, and the question is, how many chances does he have for a second Super Bowl? We shall see. Also, today is a holiday, and for good reason, in the United States, and it is a celebration of the life of Dr. Martin Luther King, who lived only 39 years. His birthday was the 15th, but we celebrate the holiday on Mondays, and so this is where we are on the 21st, celebrating a birthday that happened 6 days ago. The anniversary of Dr. King's birth in Atlanta was last Tuesday. He would have been 90 years old, could still be alive, perhaps, if not for the assassination on the 4th day of April in 1968 at the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, Tennessee. Dr. King was there to express support for sanitation workers who were on strike. And the night before he was assassinated, on April 3rd, he gave one of his most memorable speeches, next to the I Have a Dream speech, probably the most memorable speech he ever delivered. And it happened less than 24 hours before he was assassinated. Here's Dr. Martin Luther King, April 3, 1968.
Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead, but it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place, but I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. Go ahead, go ahead. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
That was Dr. Martin Luther King, April 3rd, 1968, the night before he was killed in Memphis, Tennessee. And what a mark he left on the culture. Mike Wallace, the veteran newsman from CBS, once said the most memorable and the most influential American of the 20th century was Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. And appropriately, many offices are closed, and we are celebrating his birth on January 15th, 1929, Atlanta, Georgia. What a short life. And it is curious that so many great leaders have had their lives cut short by assassins' bullets. And as Jesse Ventura, the former governor of Minnesota, once said, preaching peace has a great cost. John Kennedy was doing that in 1963, and he was killed at 46. His brother Robert was doing it in 1968, 2 months after Dr. King was killed. And Robert Kennedy was killed at the age of 42 as well. Huey Long was not known for preaching peace, but he, of course, was a politician of extreme talent and had a national following perhaps only exceeded by the President of the United States, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. When Huey Long was killed in 1935, he, too, was 42 years old. Ronald Reagan was shot in 1981, March 30th, but survived the shooting by John Hinckley at the Hilton Hotel on Connecticut Avenue in Washington, D.C. Reagan at the time was 70 years old, but he lived, as we know, another 24 years, battling Alzheimer's the last decade of his life. But he is the last American president to have been shot in office, and fortunately there have not been similar occurrences in the years that have passed, and we are now almost 38 years since the shooting of Ronald Reagan. So in the respect of protecting presidents, we're doing much better than we did in the past. As we know, President Kennedy was killed, as was President McKinley, President Lincoln, President Garfield, all felled by assassins' bullets. And in today's environment, there are a lot of people who are mentally unstable, who have access to firearms, who, of course, could indeed launch an attack on American president or someone else. And for the most part, public officials have been immune to the carnage that we're seeing on our streets. And it is good that public figures are not being shot down in big numbers. The 1960s provided a decade like no other, and it was unfortunately symbolized by the shooting of Dr. Martin Luther King on 4 April 1968, Memphis, Tennessee. And good luck to the New Orleans Saints in their quest to come back from a devastating defeat in the Superdome. It was only the first time in 7 tries that Sean Payton and Drew Brees have lost a playoff game in the Superdome, and it came at the most inopportune moment, and a controversial call, a blown call by the officials, made it possible. And the Los Angeles Rams will play the New England Patriots, who defeated the Kansas City Chiefs 37-31 in overtime for the AFC Championship. Chiefs are trying to get back to the Super Bowl for the first time in 49 years. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Stay tuned.